Welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. Over 7 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at MECU.com. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We are joined in the studio now by Ray Cook, who is founder of On Our Shoulders. Shannon Sullivan is vice president of the Southern District Police and Community Relations Council, as well as being safety chair of the Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance and crime chair for the Riverside Neighborhood Association, and does other things in our spare time, probably. And Ted Sutton is with us, and Ted Sutton is head of Sutton House, where he works with young men to help them get out of gangs. And folks, welcome. Good to have you all with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The lines are open, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Write to us here, steinershow@gmail.com. The question, of course, we've seen in the papers a great deal, many stories, blazing headlines about crime on the rise in the Inner Harbor, crime on the rise in Mount Vernon, where there have been beatdowns by young groups of youths who are running through the street and attack tourists and citizens who live in those communities. And then on the heels of that, there were stories that came out, the FBI study that showed that Baltimore's homicide rate, which has gone down, as the lowest homicide rate in two decades, but it is number one among America's largest cities. Number one, 37 homicides per 100,000 city residents last year. Ahead of Detroit, that was at 34. Washington, D.C. was at 31. And at larger cities, Philadelphia was at 22. So Baltimore is up there. And then we had a show yesterday talking about the hundreds of deaths in Baltimore that go unclassified, that nobody calls a murder. And for many years, Ray Cook has been on the show saying that there are many more murders in Baltimore than people are counting. So going back to the issue I raised earlier about the beatdowns that are taking place in the Inner Harbor and Mount Vernon, people from African-American communities, inner city communities are saying, so what's new? It happens here every day. We can talk about that this hour at 410-319-8888. I said we're joined by Ray Cook, Shannon Sullivan, and Ted Sutton. Councilman Bill Cole may be calling in between meetings to join us because he has raised these issues as well. So, again, welcome. Good to have you all with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this. I mean, you all may have different perspectives, maybe similar perspectives on what's going on. Ray Cook, let me just start with you, and then we'll turn to Shannon Sullivan. I'm going to get perspectives on what these headlines, what you think is behind these headlines, and what they're really saying.
Well, you know, thanks for having me here, Mark.
Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure being here. My heart goes out in condolence to the family of the young man that was beaten, you know, but again, this is something that happens every day in the neighborhoods. It's nothing new to us. I've been saying for years that a lot of things are not exposed because it's an embarrassment to the city, but in an aspect. But the things that are going on with our young people, this is definitely nothing new. I feel that we failed the age group of 21 to 22 and 19 years before. So those are the ones who are raising up the new younger kids today. And as a result, they're raising them up to be tough, to be hard, and to be doing just what they're doing. So they don't have any feelings towards making other people victims. And it's going to get a lot worse because most of the kids, if you ask them today, well, they say, well, I'm going to get my, I don't care nothing about that. And they literally mean that. Coming out of working in some of the school systems, I was just appalled at what I seen, the viciousness and the lack of care and compassion for other people. And the things that I saw really made me look at young people totally different than I've ever looked at them before. And to see this viciousness that's going on in the street. And again, you're having it in the county, it's in the city, it's everywhere right now. It's in every other city. And it's a lack of love that has never been there in these kids' eyes. And right now, they could care less about who gets hurt. And again, what happened to the young man out there that got beat up? Man, this is an everyday occurrence in the city. Every day. You know, and it hasn't changed over the years. I constantly say that we've been sitting on a lie for the last 20 years because no one wants to tell the truth about it. And this is a result of why you keep covering up things, pushing stuff under the rug. Now there's a big lump in that rug, okay, and it's not going nowhere. And it's going to continue to be like that.
And the lump has poked his head into the Inner Harbor and poked his head into Mount Vernon, and that's when all of a sudden we take notice of the news. Shannon Sullivan, your perspective.
Well, I think my perspective is just slightly different. I think that with the newspapers, if you only get your news from the newspapers, you would think that the sky is falling. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I do recognize that there's been an issue down at the Inner Harbor area, and I feel that the police have been working with the neighborhoods near the area to really combat that problem. And I know that, you know, total crime for the Central District, which does include the Inner Harbor, year-to-date is actually down, or violent crime, rather, is actually down 11%. I think because these incidents happened in the Inner Harbor, where there are more tourists, they tend to get more attention, which is not fair because, you know, as he's saying, some of these incidents happen all over the city. So I think, you know, I don't think the sky is falling. I think that they are working on it. You know, I walked through the Inner Harbor last night at 6:30 with my two kids, and my biggest concern was not going to get rained on. You know, that's what I was worried about. I wasn't worried about gangs of kids or youths. And, you know, I think that the neighborhoods have been working very closely with the police, have been pretty good about communicating to us what they're doing to work on this issue. And one of those things that they talked about was engaging the teenagers more in the Inner Harbor. You know, talking to them. If they're coming to or from school, saying things like, you know, hey, guys, how's it going? What's going on? And just glad you're out here. Have a good day. Be respectful of others. You know, just engaging them in a way that I think lets them know that, you know, hey, people care about what's going on down here, but not being confrontational in any way.
I want to say this here. Every neighborhood should be an Inner Harbor. It shouldn't just be that the Inner Harbor should be focused on about safety. Every neighborhood should be able, kids should be able to walk through their neighborhood. And if you can put that kind of protection in the Inner Harbor, the same protection should go into some of our communities where kids have to walk to the store, where kids have to walk to school. Okay, and I really feel that each and every community should want the same type of protection as Inner Harbor.
And you're saying that's not happening?
It's not.
Ted, why don't you jump in here with your thoughts, and we'll open the phone to you. I want to hear what our citizens are thinking as well. Not everybody at this table is a citizen, but citizens are listening, I should say.
Yes. Well, one thing I would have to say, I guess for me, I look at it in a different way. I feel that because I came out of that world, actually I was a predator at one time. Before I changed my life, I ran with some of the most ruthless people in Baltimore at one point, carrying a sawed-off shotgun on a regular 357. By the grace of God, I actually changed my life. And now that's why I guess my heart goes out to young men, because I see the potential that they actually have. And you have so many people that are writing them off. I really like what Brother Ray said. And the reason I say that is because every place should be like the harbor. Because I saw that candlelight visual, and then I saw the police that came out in Anne Arundel County for the young man
that was beaten.
Yes,
Prince George's County was killed.
Prince George's County. Okay, but the thing was that I saw I knew the young man that they found behind a dumpster at LaMel. That was one of the young men that I had worked with, and because of different politics out there, we weren't able to go back into that school to work with that same young man, and he actually died. But I say that to say that you have so many of our young men that don't have the guidance and don't have someone to actually put hands on to work with them, are playing life like a video game, just like Grand Theft Auto, where they're getting points and I would say getting points on people. And that's kind of like what's happening, because they target certain people and they almost get points for actually being able to take someone's shoes, to harass them and get away with certain things. But they won't try that with certain people that they feel that it's going to be definitely some retaliation from.
What did our listeners think, and what about the violence? I mean, one of the things, because he said, it's hit the news because of the attacks recently on citizens and tourists in the Inner Harbor and in Mount Vernon. So that has hit the top of the news. But violence is going on everywhere, and I think one of the in our city, and it's and I think one of the issues we want to address here in a minute is, what is it about our young people, not all of our young people, but a body of our young people, in this city that are inured to violence, where violence means nothing, where inflicting pain on another human being means nothing. What is going on here? Let's see if we can talk about that, and let's talk about what we might do about that from a different community perspectives we have in the studio now at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. This is going on across the state, in Prince George's County, here in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel. And let's go to Anne. You're on the air.
Yes. My comment was about the terrible killing of the young man out Crofton on the other day.
Yes.
And how it was parents only. I mean, it was standing room only.
That's right.
For that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was outside the door. Police was there, the county.
That's right.
Had we yet had a town hall meeting that every mother's child showed up, that the mayor of this fair city, oh, she want to cut one day out, man, don't get me started.
Come on,
you know?
Come on,
get started.
One day a week of trash. This town needs all the cleaning up it can get with your grief. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and
right.
And it's not a black, and I don't even want, Lord knows, I don't want to say it's a black or white thing. We are losing children's blood in the street. I'm fighting every day to keep my son occupied, to keep him focused. You know what I'm saying? But how are you going to do this when you're cutting up the schools, cutting up the money? I mean, it's just really a mess. Is there a solution?
Well, you know, sis, I hear you, because this is what I meant by every community should be an inner harbor, because you can't target one area to say this is what we need to clean up because it's tourists. And I agree with her totally about we're cutting the day of trash. But what I saw last night was a rally of people coming together saying that our children shouldn't die before us.
Where was this, right?
Last night at the Crawford.
In Crawford, Maryland.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the parents said, our children shouldn't die before us. How do you think we feel, Hassan, on a daily basis? Because like Ted said, we come from that era. We come from what's going on out in the street. To hear the fear in a mother's heart to say my child, whether he's going to make it back in the house from school or whether he's going to make it back from work or whatever. Because it is it's like a gauntlet walking out there at night. But again, we have to rally together as a people. We have to rally together as a group to say we've had enough of this. And one of the things that's missing in most of these children's lives is fatherhood. Males in their lives. The absence of love. You remember I said a while back on your show where I saw a group of young guys standing on a corner, and it was a 6 or 7 year old guy. The guy slapped him so hard and told him, you better not cry. You better not show no sign of weakness. This is what's being raised out in the street. So if you putting it in them at 6 to feel no pain at all, what do you think they're going to grow up to be? Where's a male to grab him and say, son, it's all right to cry. Son, it's all right to be a child. And most of these children don't even know what it's like to be a child right now. And this is what is missing.
Every time you talk about it, you bring me to tears when you think about this stuff, because it's so real. You see this stuff all
every
the time.
Every day.
It's not good. And we're talking about Christopher David Jones, who was a 14-year-old kid who was beaten to death by teenagers in Anne Arundel County, who's buried at the River Trace Baptist Church in Davidsonville. And a young man, Javal George, 16 years old, was charged as an adult with manslaughter. And another one, a 14-year-old kid, was charged as well. But that was just one case. And before you open the phones again, Shannon, let me talk to you for a minute, but turn to you, because I'm going to leave you out of this conversation here. Important part of this, because it's more than just being, you know, talking about, you know, Harbor Mount Vernon. And one of the interesting things to me here is to think about how communities across the city, majority African-American communities, majority white communities in the city, crossing racial and class lines, start to address this problem. It's not a black problem.
No, it's not.
It's our problem.
It's people's problem.
It's our problem. So what do you think?
Well, and I think he talked about it perfectly, that I think we could all agree that there's not really one solution to this problem. Mm-hmm. It definitely has to do with parents. It has to do with police. It has to do with neighbors. It has to do with, you know, the state's attorney's office. There's lots of different pieces to this puzzle. And I think, you know, I heard the frustration in that caller's voice. And I think the most important thing is to not give up, because that's the easiest thing to do. Just throw up your hands and say, oh, it's never going to change. Well, that's not true. It can change. And it takes people, you know, dedicated people to say, you know, I'm willing to take the time to work with our youth at rec centers, or, you know, go on a citizens on patrol walk, or whatever it takes. You know, people need to step up and do that. It's not just the police. It's citizens. It's parents. It's everyone.
We have a lot of calls. Let me take a couple of calls here, which I think we can respond to their thoughts on the air here. And we're joined. Shannon Sullivan is a community activist from South Baltimore who lives in Riverside, who joins us here, and is vice president of the crime chair of the Riverside Neighborhood Association, involved in Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance, where she's safety chair. And Ray Cook is with us, who's founder of On Our Shoulders, has been working with young people in the streets for many years. Ted Sutton is head of Sutton House, where he works with young men trying to help them get out of gangs. 410-319-8888. And let's go to Deborah in Baltimore County. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name is Deborah Barry Jackson. Huh. And my son was murdered also in Baltimore City. We still haven't found his murderer as of today. And Baltimore isn't safe for none of our children. Me and my grandchildren, we took a walk in that First Aid Harbor, that's not safe either. We were mugged, so that's not safe either. We can't even go outdoors.
You were mugged in the Inner Harbor?
Yes, the Inner Harbor. I don't know where she walked at, but where I walked at, me and my grandchildren were mugged. There's no safe place. There isn't a safe place in Baltimore City. I'm ready to move. I'm appalled. Today is 4 years today I buried my son. Gang violence. He was even in a gang. Upstanding citizen. He paid his taxes. He has his children. I have to provide for them now. And I'm scared to death of Baltimore City. And I live in the county. I'm appalled. Mr. Cook, I thank you. I thank you so much for trying to help our youth. They are in danger. They, as a matter of fact, they're an endangered species. I don't know how else to put it. I'm appalled. What can I say?
I'm glad you called in. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm glad that you joined us. I mean, it's and I think that in relative terms, you know, Harbor and Mount Vernon are much safer parts of the city to walk in. And I think part of what's going on is that you're seeing an anger spilling over from young people who are trapped in inner city neighborhoods, going out and getting points, as you said, Ted Sutton,
right,
and bringing those points back. But also because people are there's a wellspring of anger coming up that is really very dangerous and very unhealthy for all of us.
What you didn't hear, and Deborah, thanks for calling. Happy birthday also. I know it's hard, but happy birthday. Her son was murdered. They knocked on the door and shot him when they opened the door. What you don't know is that this lady refuses to let her son's death be in vain. So every year they celebrate by other mothers who have lost loved ones, and they continue to celebrate the birthdays and stuff, and far too many of our young people have lost their lives on the street, and it's like their lives was lost in vain, because it's just another statistic. And if you go down shock trauma, remember when Lil Keanu got shot?
Yep.
And as a result of that young girl being shot, gangs are targeting her brother right now. Okay, he can't even go. The mother had to take him out of school. He couldn't even finish school this year. And he's only, what, 12?
12.
And they targeted him. It's like they don't have a sense of compassion for nobody. But like she said, you can't throw your hands up. You can't say this is the end. You can't say that I don't know what to do. We've got to do what we have to do to survive. Because this is not, like you said, a white problem or a black problem. It is a people's problem. And until we all rally together on this, what I did see is even in that, and when you look at the picture of that young man that was street, he was riding his bicycle, something that young boys do every day, ride a bicycle, and he couldn't even do that. So that means that we have to come together so that our children can have that ability to be children again. And if we as protectors and providers can't do that, we shouldn't even be around and be here to do anything at all.
But you know what? I think that that it's nothing wrong with getting angry. But we have to tap into that anger.
Mm-hmm.
See, one of the things that I did when I found out that there was a block where they had young men and they were actually just harassing the neighbors, and people couldn't even go into the corner store, and I found out that they had beat up an elderly man. They had put another young man in the hospital. This is up in the area of White Lot. And I just got so frustrated with that, that I took about 25 to 30 men, and we just took over the corner. We said no drugs were being sold there, and we were going. And it was so sad because we had neighbors that came up to us but wouldn't stand with us. Mm-hmm. But they were just happy that we were out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happened, we actually had the police that came up and asked us where our permit was. And I told them, I said, my permit is the same place where those young boys that sell drugs out here are. So when you get a permit from them, you get a permit from me. But right now, I'm going to take a stand. See, meaning that even in the Bible says you can anger but sin not, meaning that I understand you getting anger, but we have to tap into that anger and channel it and stand together to actually do something.
I agree. I think that's a good point. You know, so it's okay to be angry, and no matter what you can say, some people are always going to be afraid. But don't just sit back. You know, like you said, get on the corner, disperse those drug dealers. Or like we did in South Baltimore, we started a Citizens on Patrol group, and we walk in all those. We walk in Cherry Hill. We walk in Brooklyn. We walk in Curtis Bay. We walk in Federal Hill. I mean, it doesn't matter the neighborhood. Everyone is interested in trying to make things better. I mean, when we do the walks in Cherry Hill, it's at like 2 miles an hour because all of the participants, many of the participants are the elderly people that live in the in that apartment complex there, and they come out with their little scooters and their canes, and they're walking with us. And that's an amazing thing to see. And they're really proud to be there. And it's really sweet because they've been, touched by violence too, as a lot of people have, and they know how important it can be.
I want to ask the three of you in a minute about some ideas you have, given the budget cuts that Baltimore City is facing and everywhere is facing, what our response should be. Because clearly they're going to keep cutting the government budget, and we're not going to get that back tomorrow morning. So what do we do? But let me go back to the phones first, 410-319-8888. And Robert, you're on the air.
I just wanted to make a point that I've actually lived in this city. I'm originally from Virginia, and I lived in this city, and I actually lived in the Mercy Homes Project a long time ago before we actually tore it down. And I think another point that needs to be made, and I think everybody's point that they made is wonderful, but accountability within ourselves. Because mm-hmm. I actually lived in an environment where about it was drug dealers and drug users and gangs. The only reason that I did not or fall into that mindset because I was, thank the Lord, I had a strong mother who not only told me about it, but let me go out and find out for myself and make your own choices. Because she said, it's your life. You choose the choices in your life, and don't get upset about what it ends up being, because you have the right to sit and say, okay, if I want to be involved in this. And I actually had individuals ask me about selling drugs. I didn't understand about leaving school. I was like, well, my mindset is not that. So even though I dealt with that environment, I knew I had to, and me being 15, I had to do better for myself. So to want better, I made a few mistakes, but then eventually common sense kicked in, and I said, this is not what I want to be. Well, I do not want to be on my rest of my life at 64 years old, never had a job or anything in my life. So I left that alone.
You know, need more moms like your mom. Time,
all of us have to take responsibility as adults, as black men. You know, we keep on saying, well, and my father, he was there. He wasn't really there 24/7. I think he was a bad father. But I had some type of focus that I want to do better for myself. And I think a lot of people need to start doing that. And it's like people are saying, well, my mom was... At some point in time, we have to take responsibility for our own actions and say, look, I'm not going to follow this crowd. I'm not going to deal drugs to my people. So then, you know, and it affects someone else. You know, there's a trickle-down effect.
Robert, thanks so much for your call.
I totally agree that we have to be accountable for our own actions. And one of the things that we have to do, and I say to young people don't dream anymore. They don't dream that they can get out of their environment. They don't dream that they can make things better. We cannot... As a result of the budget cuts everywhere, a lot of kids out here are trying to get jobs. And if you notice that a lot of the jobs that were available for kids, people are having it so hard out here now. Professional people are going for the jobs that youth used to go for because they're trying to make it. So any entrepreneur is going to, and any business person is going to hire somebody that's going to be reliable and responsible. One of the things that we're trying to do with On Our Shoulders along with Ted Sutter is that we're trying to be self-sufficient. We're trying to be entrepreneurs, teach kids to be entrepreneurs, even on a small scale. I'd like to thank Clio Enterprises for some of the things that they have done to support On Our Shoulders as far as offering kids trade work. And we have to do something to create another avenue for these kids. But until they get... awakened from what their conditions are, you can't make them accountable for what they're doing because they don't know what they're doing right now.
Well, I'd like to let me get a few more calls. We're going to explore some solutions and some roots here as well. 410-319-8888. Let's get like a few calls in a row here. And Dana, you're on the air in Reisterstown.
Hello.
Hi, Dana. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I do live in Reisterstown. I'm very familiar with the Crofton area, and I have quite a few friends who are raising their families in Crofton. And, you know, a lot of the people in that area, they are of higher income. They have the capability or the resources to have the mother stay at home to take care of the children. And they are highly involved in their children's lives and in the community. And that's something that I didn't see growing up. I grew up in the Randallstown area, and my mom raised me and my two sisters and brother on our own. And she didn't have time, because she was working, to get involved in the community like she would have if she had better resources. But just as well, my cousin was murdered. She lived in Baltimore City behind Johns Hopkins Hospital. She was murdered, and in her own home. Her home was, I was actually on the phone with her when the man who killed her came into her home and killed her. And he was only questioned. He was never, I was told there was not enough evidence to try and convict him, and she was a white woman living in a black neighborhood. That's what the detective actually told me the week after her murder. And I asked him, what is there that could be done to stop him from doing this again? And he said that the man was a drug addict, and either it'll happen to him or he'll do it again, and maybe he'll get caught next time. But he was telling me my cousin's life didn't matter, and that she shouldn't have been living in that area. And now that area that she used to live in has been demolished and is being rebuilt. And, you know, I've driven by there. It's a beautiful area now. There's still projects, you know, bad areas, and there's still the drug dealers around one corner. But it's like some people, we don't matter. Those lives of people who were murdered, they don't matter, it seems.
No, I'm glad you called. I'm again, deeply sorry for your loss and what you experienced. We'll come back and talk about what you've just said. We do have to take a short break. I do apologize. We're sitting with Ray Cook, who's founder of On Our Shoulders, Shannon Sullivan, Vice President of Southern District Police and Community Relations Council, and Ted Sutton, head of Sutton House. 410-319-8888. We'll reflect on what Danny was telling us and go back to the phones. When we return, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We are talking this hour about the violence among our young people in this community and why it exists, and why it's so prevalent, why so many young people are inured to violence. Of course, Baltimore's talking about it in the papers because of what happened in the Inner Harbor and what happened in Mount Vernon and the number of beatdowns that have taken place. The young man that was killed in Crofton, who was just buried the other day. And this happens in neighborhoods that are poor and working-class black neighborhoods across the city every day. And the question is, what do we do about it? And we're going to explore in a moment here, why do we think our children become so inured to violence? What are the social issues and personal issues that are making that happen? And how do you really intervene in that? How do you begin to change that culture of violence and uncaring? We're joined in the studio by Ray Cook, founder of On Our Shoulders, Shannon Sullivan, who's Vice President of the Southern District Police and Community Relations Council, Safety Chair for the Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance, Crime Chair for the Riverside Neighborhood Association, Ted Sutton, who is head of Sutton House and works with young men to help them out of gangs. 410-319-8888 is the number here. The lines are close to full. Emails are coming in, steinershow@gmail.com. Let me get your comments on this for a minute and to talk about... then we'll go right back to the phones here, and I get a few calls in a row to get people's thoughts in the studio. But we're talking about, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just talking about an objective social condition. All right, not excuses about human behavior, but we're talking about something that's going on in neighborhoods where people live who, since the late 50s and early 60s, when segregation was ended, were left behind. Our cities were deindustrialized. People who had jobs, whether they were in box factories or in the steel mills and the auto plants, don't have those jobs. Families fell apart. We had numerous welfare rules that started to come up saying men could not visit women in the home with children or they would lose their welfare checks. All that started happening. Families started falling apart. Schools were decayed. Money left the city. School system fell apart. And so we're talking about a core of young people who at 15 may already be the third and fourth generation in that neighborhood of kids. You know, when you have... And so the question is... And so people get inured to violence. It becomes a way of life. So what do you do? Where's the intervention? How do we intervene? You know, I mean, if parents won't intervene, can't intervene, then how do you intervene? What happens? What do you do?
One thing I would like to say, because and the reason I'm saying this is because I think I had a pretty unique life, and when I say that, because I mentioned some of that, some of those things that I partake in, and some of the actually the why I was one of the younger people during that era when all of this was coming up, but actually I had ended up getting my my bachelor's and two master's degree. I was also working at Kennedy Krieger, you know, working as a behavior therapist, working with young people. The reason I state that is because we have to put some of these young men and have them in an environment where it's okay to be sensitive. It's okay to show compassion, because right now showing compassion will make you a target. Showing compassion, actually, you could be a victim by showing compassion, because a person will view that as weakness in a hostile environment. My father is a pastor, was a civil rights leader at Southern and Grambling University. My mother worked for Mega Efforts. There's no way that I should have been involved in what I was. But I saw people getting stuffed in lockers, and I saw someone doing the stuffing. And when I looked at that picture, the person that was doing the stuffing just appealed to me more than the person that was actually getting stuffed. And that's why I wanted to gravitate to being, if I had to choose between being a predator and being preyed on, I wanted to be a predator, because it did not look fun to be preyed on. And I say that to say, but some of these young men have to be in an environment where there are other men that are saying it is okay to show compassion, it is okay to have mercy, and it is okay to cry and shed a tear if it's necessary. And until they can kind of get that and it's accepted by their peers around them, it's going to be really hard to combat.
Ray and Shannon, and then we'll open the phones here.
Well, one of the things, like Ted said, you really literally have to go into the belly of the beast when it comes to some of these environments where these kids are. And like he said, when you see a kid being jumped by six or seven kids, he gets tired of that. Mm-hmm. And every time he walks by, you know what I mean, somebody's jumping him. He gets tired of that. Okay? And if there's no one there to step in and get in the mix of that, we were at one of the schools where we were standing in the hallway, five men. And there was four other young men coming down, but they the bullies of the school. So as we told them, you can't come this way, one of them said, oh, yeah, you're going to get out of our way. We coming through there. So I said to myself, what makes boys think they can confront men? And men, if you are a man, going to stand there and let him chump you down like that in front of yourself? He's being a man. He done took your manhood. But guess what? This is what we told him. You can try and walk through here if you want. We will give you what you're asking for.
That's right.
And you can turn around and go back and do it the right way, or we will give you what you want. Okay? They kindly turned and walked the other way.
That's right.
And now those same young men calls us, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning. But someone has to show them that tough love, and you can't be afraid of it. But what is missing is that these kids... have no love shown to them. They have no compassion shown to them. And even the ones who have come from the environment, like Ted said, if you're one of the few, right, and you're there by yourself, you seem like you're by yourself. But until some other people stand up and say, whether it's men or women, but women have done it for too long, we have to stand up and stand there and show these young men that there's love in the midst. And the young girls are really lost out there with some of the things that they're going through. So we got a big job ahead of us.
It's almost like you have to deprogram the kids.
That's what the word is.
It's what you're describing as a cycle of violence. I mean, that you could apply that to, you know, domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. Where usually, or not usually, but sometimes the person who's a victim of domestic abuse at some point later on will become the abuser. I mean, that's exactly what you're describing with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, well, let me open the phone to you and I'll come back to what I wonder. I want to ask Shannon a question about crossing communities and an idea and throw it out here. But first, 410-319-8888. A lot of people are holding on for a long time. Reverend Meredith, you've been holding on longer than others, so go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'd like to really commend the brothers on the panel because you've hit the nail on the head. I'm a resident of Baltimore City. I'm a school teacher in Prince George's County. I've worked with youth in Baltimore City and Prince George's County. And the lack of parenting and the disintegration of family is causing this problem. Mm-hmm. These children don't have any compassion because they've never seen it modeled in their lives. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned as a young black woman, because I see a generation of young men and young women who don't have any coping skills, who are prone to violence, and who don't care about life. I'm telling y'all, these kids don't care about life.
That's right.
Their own lives.
Right.
I mean, I've got kids in my class I've heard say, well, I could get shot tomorrow, so mm-hmm. I don't really care about homework because, you know what, I might not live. I've got kids singing about they want to get shot, okay? Mm. And when we look at the home life, there's so much abuse. There's so much drugs. I mean, the drug culture is crazy. Mm. And I think that in order to really address this problem, we've got to go to these parents. These parents for real have to wake up because at the end of the day, I see these children for 6 hours. They're home for the other 18. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we are not taking responsibility for our children. If we wanted this problem to stop, it would stop.
That's right.
We need to stand up. And just like people can march through Jenna, Louisiana, and tell these people, oh, no to racism, we need to stand up in our communities and say mm-hmm. no more.
Say
no
it again.
More death. We will not allow this murderous rampage to continue in our communities. If I have to be afraid of another young black man, a young black woman, and I never ran from the Ku Klux Klan, there is something wrong with our people. And we need to wake up and stand up and raise our children.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Meredith. Thanks for holding on. Let's go to Diane in Southeast. You're on the air. Diane, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing?
Well.
I'm sorry. I was just listening to what the minister was saying. My viewpoint is I'm angry, and I know I'm angry, and I'm going to be angry for a long time because it's our leadership that's not paying
that's
attention
right.
to what's happening, and it's not only African-American people. It's
that's
everybody.
Right.
It just doesn't affect everybody wants to separate themselves. You can't separate yourself. It's affecting everybody. It might be a group of African-Americans down there acting up in the harbor, but it affects all of us no matter what, and we need to see that. We need to be angry. I went to, a workshop at Reginald S. Lewis about the Middle East, Baltimore, and the doctor, the psychiatrist said that we need to be so angry that we need to just, and she said it's just not a black and white thing. She told the white people that was in that audience, don't just think it's affecting blacks, it is affecting everybody. Once they start moving people out, and that's what they're doing, and the young people see this, they're being moved out of their community that they have been in, no matter if their parent is not involved in it.
That's right.
And it's just, they just being rooted, and it hurts me just because I hear so many people say, you know, it's the parents and it's the children, but it's also the administration that and that are our leaders that we elect. We need to get rid of them next year because they haven't. I mean, it's going to continue. The cycle is going to continue, and it hurts so bad. I'm a woman in my 50s, early 50s. The other day, I had to tell a guy, do not come across the street selling your drugs. He was on one corner, and at 4 o'clock, he decided he wanted to come. I was hanging out clothes, still hanging out clothes. And I told him, I said, no, you cannot do that. I'm a woman. I have to stand up and do that. And I had asked black men to come in our community. I live up 16 blocks up from City Hall. That's where I live at. Mm. And we don't get that kind of... what they getting down the harbor, we don't get that at all. Mm. I call the police. It take them 3 hours to get here. 3 hours. And it shouldn't be.
So, I'm glad you joined, got through the air and joined us here. We're trying to get to a bunch of other callers. We're also calling in here. There's so many people are calling in. Another listener wrote in, Phil wrote in asking, what do your guests suggest a listener can do? So, I mean, let's just talk concrete stuff here. I mean, that's what I was going to ask earlier about what happens. Is it, and is there a way? Or is it just pie in the sky and we have a few pockets here of, community activists in South Baltimore trying to stop crime and be involved in Neighborhood Watch there's a Ray Cook over here sitting at one place trying to work with young people in this part of the community, and then there's a Ted Sutton who takes a few kids out of gangs and tries to help turn young people around. But and all that's absolutely important. Nothing changes without it. But something really drastic has to happen to force a city and force communities and force people.
That's the key word. It's going to take something drastic. And if losing our children is drastic, it isn't drastic.
And I'm not belittling anything anybody does in this room.
Everybody. There's a saying that I say: don't wait for something to happen to your child before you decide to do something. And let's go back to what he said: accountability. Our leadership. We definitely need to hold them accountable for what's going on. And it's not just pie in the sky. We got evidence of all the success stories that we have helped young people who was sure enough gangbangers, who was stick up guys and whatever, doing the right things now. But we don't have time to celebrate one victory because there's too many wars still out here have to fight to change these kids' lives. It can be done. As of July, we are actually getting ready to launch a campaign up in the Park Heights, Belvedere area, Ted and myself. And there's people that I'm talking to that we're trying to get a quilt made for all the people who have lost loved ones to the street. And that quilt will cover this whole city probably. You know what I mean? But we can't look at the monster and not think that there's a way that we can't tackle the monster. So we're all going to have to come together. And I'm going to commit myself to giving it one more big rally to try and get everybody together to try and do this, because if we don't, this problem is going to touch each and every one of us, because people are being robbed at Anne Arundel Mills, which was supposed to be the ideal mall, but now they can't come out with their grocery, they can't come out with nothing, so we all are being touched. But we're going to have to all rally together, and if those leaders can't support us, can't give us the things we need to do, they don't need to be in office. Mm-hmm. And we need to call on the churches. We keep praying about, like Martin Luther King saying, praying about the golden gates in heaven. But what about the hell streets here that's on earth that we need to deal with? So we're going to have to do what we have to do as the people to come together.
Shannon?
Well, I know you mentioned that budgets are being cut and things like the PAL centers are closing or the rec center hours are being decreased. But, If one person on each block, instead of just sitting around and watching American Idol for 2 hours on a Tuesday night or whatever, instead of doing that, if that person went down to their rec center and offered to volunteer their time to play basketball with kids or, just engage the children and be a happy person, not being the people that those kids unfortunately only have interaction with, being that person instead of just sitting around watching TV. I mean, that's a really simple thing to do. And I know it seems like throwing, like a penny in a little bucket. But after a while, those things add up. And, you went around the panel and you said we all do these little different things. But
I wasn't believing them either. They're important things.
Right. Well, but they've all reached some sort of success. We're not doing this because it's been failure after failure. We do it because we're driven by the fact that we have seen results. And so that's what I would ask people to do. Talk to the schools, talk to the rec centers, talk to your community, your neighborhoods, because a lot of communities have really active neighborhood associations, and a lot of people have no idea what's going on. So just get informed, be involved.
I wonder, and we'll go, how much of what we see with kids beating down other kids and adults in this community is random violence or directed violence. By directed, I mean like organized. People keep talking about gang initiations, gang violence, or is it, do you think, just random?
It's both. Mm-hmm. It's both. Some of it is targeted. Some of it is opportunity. A lot of the murders you see, it's not because they strategically planned the murder. It's they see the guy going in the store. They say, boy, go get that burner. And they catch him coming out the store. And then there's some that are planned. And some of them are random, like you said. And then, like, a lot of it is just the opportunity. Whatever arises.
And one other problem is there are too many young people that are looking for acceptance. And when I say that, meaning that all it takes is for somebody to come home from jail, say that, you know, I'm from whatever set, and then I'm going to bring you home. But for you to come home, for you to now have a home, I need for you to do something for me. And I need you to show your loyalty. And the only way you're going to show your loyalty if you get out there in the streets and commit a crime against somebody that lives next door to you, meaning that you need to just forget about anything, any compassion about them, and I need you to harm them. And that's where the problem is coming about, because you have too many young men that are just being used as pawns. And the next thing, and I get calls from Central Booking every day with somebody down there crying on the phone, tears crying, not knowing how they got there, looking at now 10 and 15 years. And I have a problem with that, because I'll be honest with you. I'm a ordained elder in the church, minister over the youth department in my church, at my father's church. And you know what I tell some people? You know, because I hear a lot of complaints. But I tell people, to be honest with you, you need to shut up and get out of the way if you're not willing to do something. If you're not willing to stand up for your community and stand up for life, then you need to just shut up and please move out of my way. Because I don't know about what anybody else is going to do. I know what I'm going to do. And for everyone who feels that way, I wish that we could organize and have everybody bring the people who feel that way together, so men can stand up and so strong women can stand up and we can take back our communities.
Well, it also seems like as this economy has fallen apart and as we talk about budget cuts, that what has fallen out of our discussion that we used to have on our airwaves all the time together is about kids and what to do about them and what we have to do to put our hands around this. But it's almost become forgotten with the world we're in now. And the issue has to be raised very loud in the public now for people to take attention. Let's see what our listen to a couple of people who have dropped off. Let's get them back on the air. 410-319-8888. Sorry, you people have been waiting so long. There's been so much to say here. And who's been LaPrice? You've been waiting a long time. You're on the air.
Hi, hello.
I'm well, thank you.
I just want to say this issue puts a very sour taste in my mouth. I'm so tired of hearing about the issues that's going on, and you have so many people in hierarchy positions that are not doing as much or doing anything that they should be doing. If the kids can't trust their parents or don't see a good example in their parents, the next person they go to is someone that inspires them. And you have people who mentor the kids. People may not like what I'm about to say, but pastors, mayors, governors that are showing bad examples from what they're doing. How can you trust anybody? No one trusts anybody. So how can you make a good change if people around you who's supposed to be showing a good example are not showing a good example? On 4th of July down the harbor, they had police officers standing side by side as a wall, making sure nothing happens on 4th of July. If we can set them police officers like that in our cities and our streets, we can get our streets back. I just feel as though they're not doing as much as they should to really make it happen. Like Mr. Ted said, if you're not willing to do what you're supposed to do to help these kids and you really mean it, then don't do it. Sit down and let the people who really care do what they're supposed to do.
Priest, thanks for holding on. I'm glad you joined the conversation. Let's get a call or two in here, 410-319-8888. Christine, you've been on waiting a while. You're on the air.
Hi. good evening, everybody. I am pretty much co-signing with so much that has been discussed. My my thoughts are somewhat more of a practical, as one of the lady panelists mentioned. I just feel that as a parent, I shouldn't be fearful. And what I mean is, I see young people walking around. I mean, just little things like having their pants saggy, and I always wanted to say, pull them up.
Right.
Just those little things. Just pull up your pants. What are you doing having your pants sagging? And sometimes I'm afraid to say that because I don't want a parent to see, or I don't want to engage the, you know, that young person. But I just feel as if we can just do those little things, like just telling a child, talking to a child and saying, you know what, you shouldn't do that, or this might not be appropriate, or as the lady panelist mentioned, taking out your time to do an hour or two at a rec center, it would do a world of difference. Another thing is, we got to turn off the television. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, I have, if you can hear in the background, I have two children.
We can hear them.
Yes, the kids' programs are a little bit more violent than I would like. And so my husband and I have committed to shutting off the TV. In fact, we're probably going to be getting rid of our cable channel just because a lot of it is just too much. I mean, some of it is very fun and it's very cute, but it instills certain values that we don't find, you know, appropriate. You know, so I just think, and I feel that in addition to what has been discussed, if we start on the most basic level, I think that goes a long way. Yes, I mean, the budget cuts are going to be there. All kinds of socioeconomic issues are going to be there. And, I mean, I'm a child of the 70s. And so, you know, there's some things that are different, but then there are some things that are the same. But the one thing that has changed is the village mentality. And I feel as if we start rebuilding and start looking, as much as I understand the concept of our looking to our leadership, but we need to look at ourselves. And that's kind of where I am on it. So I think we need to start within ourselves first and take it one step at a time.
Thank you so much, Christine. There are a lot of people who have called in, and one of them I can see is a dear friend and colleague of ours, Dante Wilson, who runs the Reclaiming Our Children Project in West Baltimore. And I wish we could take everybody's calls, but I think we're just about can we take calls? We have 1 minute left. I guess we don't have time. But so I want to thank Dante Wilson, who's on the line, Lawton and Rashid, everybody else who's trying to get through. We will come back to this subject again very soon and bring our guests back. And I want to commend our panel here, Shannon Sullivan, Ray Cook, and Ted Sutton, for being so involved in life of this community, lives of their communities, trying to make things work better for us all. We'll come back and have this community conversation again. And I want to thank all three of you for taking part and being part of this today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And remember, we have to take care of our children. They are all of our children. If we don't, they certainly will take care of us one way or the other. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Christina Arison, Judith Lloyd, and Brian Boone. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and to podcast any of our past shows and hear additional interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.